Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Big chops. I've seen him in the crowd. My dream too, Terry. Look at his chops.
I want to publish zines and rage against machine, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. Luke Moore is with us.
All right.
Jimmy Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Petey Donaldson as well.
Wakanda forever.
All right, chaps and chapesses, here we go again.
Let's crack open the waters and get on with it.
Damn right. Before we do, somebody was cracking open other things, probably wines and whatnot, the Brit Awards last night, Peter Donaldson.
I had a couple of wines, yeah?
Yeah.
Were you invited or did you just go along?
I was working the red carpet, interviewing the great and the good. Yeah,
but again,
and
did you just go along?
Given that you look like basically everyone, can you just get into everything?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I should sort of flex my lookalike muscles a little bit more.
I was walking, was it, whereabouts was it held?
The O2.
Yeah, so I was walking past there last night.
Were you?
And, I always just said I was walking past Leicester Square last night, but I knew it wasn't Leicester Square. And I heard someone very much fitting your description and voice say, no, I'm working the red carpet. I am. If I'm not, how come I am? Yep. Get off me.
I was the man who smashed up that Lamborghini.
Were you? Right. Again. Yeah.
I did wake up with this, though. I woke up with an extra fake tattoo.
You've got a new tattoo.
What's it of?
It's a promotional Day of the Dead Brit Awards 2018 tattoo. Next to my other tattoos. I forgot I did that.
It's not in your top five worst tattoos.
No.
Is it?
And it is temporary, which is better.
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
You should, yeah. You're learning!
Learning!
My goodness.
Are you sure it's temporary and you didn't just get like a real one tattooed on top of it?
With Brit Awards 2018 written underneath it. That would have been fun.
Any juicy gossip, Peter?
Ed Sheeran sometimes practices in the shower.
That's not gossip, is it? No, we all do that.
Did you meet Harry Kane?
No, I saw him on the red carpet. God, he's tall. Mm. You know when you sort of see someone
Have you never seen him before?
I know, but I was just like, you know when you see a striker, even like Alan Shearer, who's not noticeably like taller than anyone else, you sort of go, God, they're big old lads. Big units.
Big old lads. All right, then. Well,
I thought he did a pretty good performance. I didn't think he could read.
Well, all right, Peter. I think that's enough of the exclusives from the Brit Awards.
Things you could have watched on the telly.
Yeah, as I didn't actually watch it, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay. There's too much new information there for people. Let's move on before their minds are blown. We start with the Carabao Cup final. Everybody. Mm. I mean, it's the first cup final of the English season. I think Scotland have had about three finals now.
A huge piece of silverware.
It's a huge piece of silverware.
We need to get back on track here because yesterday on the continent, either on mic or off mic, James Horncastle of this parish
was talking. Was he giving it?
He wants to completely kibosh the League Cup.
Oh,
he wants to get rid of it.
Town.
Yeah. I'm not having that.
No.
What? Oh, this half of this mince is off, let's throw it all in the bin.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
Let me tell you something. The Carabao Cup final means the Carabao Cup final.
I'm an English football fan, and I want to see those players play 100 games a season.
And then win the World Cup.
If anything.
I mean, for the money they earn, they shouldn't get tired.
No, they're right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Of course, but Manchester City, of course, are playing Arsenal in the Carabao Cup final, the League Cup final.
And Marcus, they come into this game in quite poor form.
In very poor form. I mean, cup competitions, you could argue, domestically, are not their strong point at the moment.
Are you thinking about getting your nose checked out because you failed to sniff out this cup set?
Well, I suggested it. I mean, actually, and this is a challenge for everybody out there. If you actually play the football ramble backwards, you will find a very firm prediction. point of me saying that Wigan would knock Manchester City.
No, it's you
out.
Chanting incantations at the devils.
Yeah, don't do it because you will summon a demon.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's well, he's here, aren't you, Peter? Yeah.
We do it twice a week. But you didn't sniff out that cup, so I think it's important that you're honest with our listeners.
Yeah.
I said it was very hard to... I said the ball was very hazy on this one, the crystal ball.
Hazy ball.
Yeah, indeed.
That's what
yeah.
Fabian Delph said. Yeah.
God.
Was it a sending off?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll show you who's got the maximum power. Yeah. Mental.
Yeah. It was... A lot of people thought it was just a booking. Pep Guardiola was rather animated in the tunnel chasing
he
up
was,
Paul Cook.
Wasn't
I mean, talk about, you know, football throws up some funny scenarios. Who on earth would have thought that Paul Cook would have been chased by Pep Guardiola? Pep Guardiola wanting another word with Paul Cook.
Did you see who pulled them apart?
Who was that?
Peter Reid. Throw that in the mix as
Why
well.
Was he?
I don't know.
What's that about?
Must be a nearby hotel.
He's a Man City
he is,
legend,
he is, yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah.
But I mean,
legend strong.
Yeah, it is strong.
Yeah, you went in. with 2 feet there, mate.
That's the strongest shout since Marcus once said that Dean Saunders was a Premier League legend. Yeah.
But he is a legend, but in the way that provincial men in super dry shirts say.
No, but Jim, how many other people in football have you literally seen peel a banana with their feet?
None.
Exactly. There we go. Exactly. So his place in the Hall of Fame is assured.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Well, I've got 2 points on this.
Go on.
One is a throwaway point that I'm disappointed in the town of Wigan for only being able to get 19,000 through the gate for a Man City team coming to town.
Yeah.
but that's probably a slightly different point to the one I want to make, which is why are we still getting surprised that Pep Guardiola is mad? He's one of those guys who lives on the very edge of like insanity and genius.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, because even when they win, he's giddy afterwards, isn't he? He's kind of having an out-of-body experience.
So the sight of him in the tunnel gym, clearly encouraging Paul Cook and giving him some advice about how he could be even better, shouldn't surprise us.
No, maybe he's just still banging on about Nathan Redmond.
Mm. But honestly, he's so good.
You should sign him.
He's so good. Get off me, Reedy. Yeah. He's so good.
We don't know what... I mean, Guardiola clearly has got a bit of form for this, and I think he enjoys a more generous reputation as a gentleman than perhaps he should.
Yes.
But with the caveat that we don't actually know what was being said. Mm. Was it not a reaction to those fans coming on the pitch and maybe intimidating?
No, because it was at half-time.
Oh, it was at half-time, okay. Yeah. Very, very strange then.
Yeah.
Probably it was to do with the red card, but that's not Paul Cook's fault, is it?
No, yeah. they were chatting before they went up the tunnel, and I think Cook probably said, right, enough of you.
Yeah,
I'm off.
Cookie is being a little bit hungover. I'm so emotional about seeing Peter Reid in a melee in a fray. Yeah.
Taking it back.
Like, oh.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, he never excites me a little bit.
Yeah, I think
Premier passions.
See, I think Peter Reid. You know, if he wanted to go, he could go, Peter.
Did you see that documentary back in the day when he was Sunderland manager?
But I don't think that's his first. I don't think he reaches for that lever first and foremost.
No.
I think Reid would be like, come on, let's all calm down. But if he needed to, he would know what he was doing.
I can't go into this on mic, but I'll chat to you about it later.
Okay.
Paul Cook
That's
is
nice for the listeners.
Paul Cook is a bit of a wrong one as well.
Right, okay.
So I'm sure he's not blameless.
And I know the reason why.
Yeah,
well.
There we go.
Naughty.
But this game in the weekend should be good. Sunday's the first showpiece final of the season. Good bit of a.
We haven't mentioned Will Grigg.
Community Shield. I'm sorry, yeah, okay. Will Grigg's on fire.
Yeah.
We're all terrified.
It's absolutely glorious.
As our Russian Man quadruple hopes.
Yeah, well, that's... If they won the quadruple this season, obviously they can't. Of course, that's an amazing thing. And what an achievement that is. And if they did that, everyone would say, flipping fair play, lads. Well done indeed. But there is also that thing that you don't want one team who are backed... By a certain state where how they get their money is questionable and so on and so forth, blah, 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 blah. And I know there are other football clubs that could come into that. And when you see that kind of sheer dominance that perhaps we've never seen before come to an end from a League One club, it is utterly glorious.
Especially when they've got that history. I mean, you were at the FA Cup final when Wigan beat them before.
Yeah.
And, from what I remember, there was something a Man City fan was doing.
I mean, this is a far bigger upset than that, by the way, because Wigan were an ailing Premier League side then, but a Premier League side nonetheless. There was, I mean, because of the nature
of... relegated weeks after.
To me, it seemed like, and Man City fans might agree with this, and that's fine, but to me, it felt a bit like they thought it would be a coronation.
Mm-hmm.
And they got very... The fans sat near me got very tempestuous when they realised that it wasn't all going to go their way. They started cheering and singing for Manuel. I think it was Mancini's last game in charge, was it?
Could have been, yeah.
And they were cheering, they were singing songs about Pellegrini, who was widely expected to be coming into the club while Mancini was still managing him. And then when Wigan scored, A couple of them got so angry.
They shut their noise.
One spat a piece of pie out of his mouth and the other one, and they had a fist fight.
So some history there.
Yeah. I'm not saying all Man City fans like that, of course. But
it's an enjoyable story.
It's great, yeah.
In hindsight only, we should say. Excuse me.
But Will Grigg is on fire, and it only takes a scuffed shot to light his flame.
Yeah, he had an out-of-body experience as well, an out-of-Will Grigg experience. He scored?
He shut down. His body just seemed to stop.
He did. Now.
Give me a hard reset.
Carl Walker, didn't really do himself any favours with that. He sort of let the ball run and was like, oh, no.
And we talked about, that was an error. We talked about the idea of would Man City beat Wigan just with 10 men, and we were able to see that for a half at least they weren't able to. And also, the reason that Wigan deserve even more credit is Nick Powell is arguably their most important player, and he had to go off injured. Yeah. So they play. Wigan are a good team. They don't concede many goals, as I've said to you before. Obviously, they're in the same division as the team I support. So, and I don't know how true this is. I couldn't corroborate it, but I'll put it out there. I read that the expected goals, and we don't talk about that sort of thing much on this show, but just for illustration, the expected goals was only 1.3 versus 1.5 in Man City's favour.
Yeah.
So the chances that Man City did have appear to have been quite low quality.
Indeed. Are they going to take out their anger on Arsenal, though? That's who they're playing
in the wounded tiger.
Yeah, we'll see, won't we?
Yes. I mean, Man City, they are favourites, of course, going into this match. But this is Arsenal's best chance of silverware. I find it funny. Wenger hasn't won the League Cup before. They've only won it twice, the last coming in 1993. For a side like Arsenal, I was quite surprised by that statistic. Maybe I'm alone.
Wenger was at the vanguard of playing like weakened teams in this competition,
wasn't he? Yeah, and he's been very sort of loyal to those teams throughout the competition. So he used to blood youngsters in that competition all the time, and the further they'd get, he wouldn't bring in the big guns, as they got deeper into the competition. So that might partially explain what seems like a bit of an anomaly. And they've been in the final as well when they lost to Birmingham that time. But
that was a big upset.
It was hugely. Yeah, it would be great for Wenger to get that one. And
Wenger found his level there, coming to get up against Alex McLeish.
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Big Ek.
Arsenal was 17-4 to win in 90 minutes on Sunday. So £10 that would bet 365 returns £52.50, including stake, should the Gunners do the business.
Yeah, I think if Wenger does win that, then he can finally retire, because he's got this hot of the full set.
Joking aside, though,
he's never going to retire.
No, joking aside, he would be keen to get that in there. And
of course. I mean, he would, if he won that and the Europa League, obviously that's a big ask. He'd be delighted, because that'd be a European trophy as well. But David Ospina is going to be in the side, as we discussed last week.
Apparently
he's going to start tonight as well in the Europa League. And as I said before, I think he'll stay in the team for a bit now. I think he might want to take a bit of the flak off of Cech, because he saved a penalty against Ostrichens and kept a clean sheet as well, which has been beyond Peter Cech of late.
It's a bit annoying for Cech, because is that the first penalty he saved for Arsenal for a pretty long time? Mm. Or is it the first one ever, maybe? Whatever it is, it's been the first for a while, and it's quite typical that he did it in the Europa League game that they won easily in Ostersund. So you couldn't get more likely to forget that if you tried.
Yeah, right. Arsenal, Lacazette is missing, of course, for the match. Mkhitaryan can't play.
Yeah.
So they're looking at Aubameyang. And Ozil has been ill this week.
Yeah, Ozil's ill all the time. Well, I don't think he's got a thick enough jacket.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's it. He missed training on Monday and Tuesday because he was sick, according to Big Veng. But then he posted on Insta a picture of him and I think it was his girlfriend in Istanbul on Monday. And it also had his location in there, and people are saying, "Ooh,
I've been sick in Istanbul."
But when Wenger said he's sick in his bed, I think that
didn't say which bed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Donny, you've woken up sick in Istanbul before, haven't you?
No, I've never been to Istanbul.
Have you not? Okay.
No. Which city was it then?
I apologise.
I did remember something from last night's red carpet, though. I've just remembered.
Oh, here we go.
Nile Rodgers. I had to restart the interview because I introduced him as Nile Ranger.
Yes. That's the stuff.
That is good.
I can't let that guy go, clearly.
Did you then have to explain to Nile Rodgers who Nile Ranger is?
He's an unspeakable man.
Yeah.
That's
He's
excellent.
An unspeakable man, like you, Pete.
That's very good, Peter. I do,
very
enjoyable.
Bad.
The cup final, it wouldn't shock me if Arsenal won this. I mean, I'm slightly concerned with the lack of attacking options, as I say. I think I'd quite like Arsenal, when Mkhitaryan obviously can play, because he can't with this one, Arsenal play a bit of a Christmas tree with
Wigan do that against City? They seem like they were for a while. They played. It looked to me like they were playing sort of three in front of a four, and then they had the three front. Yeah,
yeah. I quite fancy the old Christmas. I'd say it is the season to play it.
It's not. It's not. I fancy an Aubameyang goal. I fancy both teams to score. I think it'll be a decent game actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward
little
to it.
Little Lukey tip too. There, lovely. Yeah, there.
And if Willy Caballero's in goal, then you don't want it to go to penalties.
No.
Good point.
It's an excellent point, Jim. So win that game. Win that game.
I'll do everything I can
in 90 or 120 minutes.
It's an excellent point from Marcus. So pass it on.
Yeah. All right. I'll let them know.
So there we are.
Knowledge is power.
We are very much looking forward to that one. Let's go back to the Premier League, where Bournemouth are taking on Newcastle United. Newcastle, can they get some momentum, Peter?
That would be such a good... This would be such a good match to win, wouldn't it, really?
That
would put a few more points on table.
Well, it could take them up to 31 points. Now, a win for Bournemouth would take them to 34. Mm. 31, 34 points at this stage of the season, you know, in that cherished 40-point mark, how much you buy into that. But I think generally,
escape relegation with 30 this year. Yeah.
It's so close. Yeah.
So again, that 40-point mark, but it is a kind of arbitrary sort of benchmark, I suppose, that people kind of look to.
Ranieri's Leicester, famously.
That's right.
Even when they were top of the league with about 80 points, looking for 40 points.
Yeah.
You've doubled more. That.
Yeah, you've
doubled
got that ages ago. Yeah. Double your money. But yeah, so I find this sort of quite an intriguing fixture, actually. Jermaine Defoe's on the bench for Bournemouth, haven't recovered from an injury. But you're right, Peter. A win would be bloody wonderful for Newcastle. I know it's an obvious thing to say, but to build on that victory for Manchester United would be such a confidence booster.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks, though, hasn't it? You sort of wonder whether that plays into their hands. We don't have that many injuries, so it's kind of like, could we have done with playing in midweek?
have another game. Because it always fades into the memory.
Can they call Mitro back?
I was going to say, they're missing Mitro.
Will Griggs on fire, Mitro's on fire, defence is terrified, left, right and centre.
Yeah. Mitro scored a lovely one for Fulham, like a lovely far post run, just nipped in front of the defender. Classic... I think he's a better quality of player than you, and he's a little bit quicker in the mind, and he gets a step or two ahead, and that's all he needs, and he's at the back stick.
Since he signed, you forget that they've had about five matches where he hasn't done anything, so it's kind of like not on the championship.
Doesn't fit my agenda, though. So I won't be mentioning that.
Very much enjoying this Pete Marcus sort of spin-off.
What?
Mitro love.
Well, exactly, Mitro. That's the thing, because Marcus
Pete's
has a bit
on
of a
loan
soft
to Marcus.
For Fulham. Yeah. Yeah, and now I've got some reason to go down and watch Fulham.
Yeah,
in their wooden seats.
We went to go and see Fulham Newcastle once, didn't we?
We've been twice for that.
Bloody hammered. 5-1 was it?
5-2
and a 1-0.
Tim Krull's. It was very windy that day. I remember Tim Krull's goal kicks were dreadful.
In the 5-2,
ending up in the Thames.
In the 5-2, did Ben Arthur score a beauty?
Yeah, he's got up. Yeah, it was a beautiful goal.
5-2 defeat to Fulham. That is a classic Ben Arthur beauty.
But I think it was when I got signed him.
Do you remember over the Ramble Christmas dinner? I got really tearful almost at Andy Brassel. I was going, "What happened to Ben Arthur? Why can't he just get it together?" And Ben's going, "Well, you know, sometimes things are bigger than football. You know, he doesn't care."
You want him back? You want him back?
He's still on the books at PSG.
Yeah,
it's mad, isn't it?
You'd always have him back, wouldn't you?
In many ways, it's a perfect situation for Ben Arthur because he's at a big club,
earning loads of money
and not having to play.
Yeah. Loving it.
Yeah, I think we're all happy. But
a Hatem Ben Arthur-less Newcastle do go to Bournemouth on Saturday afternoon, and the draw is currently priced at 12-5 with Bet365. So £10 returns £34, including stake in the event of a stalemate.
Peter, what did you think of Nobby Solano turning up at Newcastle?
Another question for me.
Yeah, let's get to the real stuff.
Yeah. Come on, Nobby Solano turning up at Newcastle United's training ground. To get some tips from Rafa Benitez ahead of Peru in the World Cup. That is a wonderful equation.
It wasn't Nobby Solano, it was Nile Rodgers.
And if you don't care, Pete, why have you brought your trumpet into that?
I thought you played the trumpet. No, I'm playing some amazing guitar. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I guess Nobby Solano and, to a less extent, someone like Jonas. They're those kind of footballers that are as close to living Newcastle legends from like the noughties and early decade. What do we call this decade? Teens.
We're not bringing it up for 10 years.
But you once said, if they're the noughties, then these are the nasties, you said.
Did I?
The nasties.
That's a bit hack, isn't it?
Yeah. Sort of thing you would say, though, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
No, it was just the way he was talking about the club. He was saying the last time I was visiting here was about a year and a half ago. But it's nice to see the same faces in the kitchen, the kit men, the guys who do the grass, presumably the chairman, you know, all the same. But yeah, but wonderful.
You do kind of see some players who sort of leave, and Nobby's not in this particular catchment, but players who kind of didn't realise what they had at Newcastle. Players like Olivier Bernard, who left under a cloud, he hated the club, and then he's like, oh, that was probably my best years. Kieran Dyer's a good example.
Jermaine Genus was one, wasn't he? Yeah. Did he not talk about it? Was he the one who said about the goldfish bowl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Living, playing a new.
He also absolutely. He was signed by Bobby Robson, wasn't he? As well, and he said he signed for him because it was Robson and everything, but it didn't quite work out as he wanted. But he's always been a good player, Genus. He's only about 35 now.
Yeah, exactly.
quite young, didn't he?
The aforementioned James Horncastle spoke about, or Andy Brassel did about Ezequiel Lavezzi leaving Napoli when he was like, I had to get in the boot of my car to go down the shops and so on because it's such a football obsessed city, especially around the football club. And then when he goes to Paris Saint Germain, it's kind of you're just another face in the crowd. And they said,
are you linking him with Newcastle?
Maybe. Well, let's get the World Cup out of the way first. Yeah. And they kind of look back at their time and go, oh, it was a bit of a nightmare, but you were in the centre of attention. You know, it was quite special. And I think a lot of players have that with Newcastle, you know. Some players have it when they're there.
Well, there are a lot of boots in Newcastle, so they can get involved, can't they?
We're in the Goldfish Bowl at the Ramble.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one had heard of London before we started.
Why not tint the windows of your car or Goldfish Bowl?
Yeah.
Rather than go in the boot.
Get a monster truck. No one's going to reach that.
Get a bigger Goldfish Bowl.
Cardo.
Tank. Get that big tank like at Georgia Aquarium. They've got whale sharks.
All right, come on. We need to move on from this.
Like a little boy, then.
And we'll see what Pete's got in the tank, because it's time for correspondence with PTD.
It is time for correspondence with PTD. Hello to Art Grimley, I think is a fantastic name.
Art Grimley, fantastic. Grimley, yeah. Pete, how many emails did you get about West Brom and the taxi?
We got quite a few. That's a very unflattering light. As a Palace fan, it brought a smile to my face hearing the great man, Sasa Cercic, mentioned on a recent show. I think one fact about him that was missed off this list that he was always seemed to be particularly apt. He made his international debut against Brazil in Virginia. Vagina.
Okay. Basically. Yeah.
A long way from Yugoslavia, but somewhere I'm sure he felt at home.
There you go. That's made it in.
Yeah. Very slim pickings.
All you got to do is make
it's the name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Art Grimley.
Yeah. Exactly.
Basically, if you're called like John Smith, you've got no chance. Yeah.
Give yourself a fancy name. Just make up a name.
Yeah. Call yourself Stormzy. No one cares. I'll read it. Craig Doyle. Hello, Ramblers. I have a pair of Kevin Keegan stories to bring to the banquet.
Pair of them.
And the first is Keegan's last game for Liverpool before moving to Hamburg in the summer. Liverpool won the league with Keegan having a phenomenal season. However, in Keegan's penultimate game, they lost the FA Cup against Man United 2-1. 4 days later, it was the 1977 European Cup final in the Stadio Olimpico. Rome and Liverpool were playing against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Keegan runs the game and in the process wins a penalty, halved by Scottish disaster Bertie Vaux, to make it 3-1 to Liverpool, winning their first European Cup. After the match, Keegan enters the dressing room and says, I have won you the European Cup there, lads, and that's my parting gift. Centre-half Tommy Smith spins around and says, but you shit on Saturday, and then lamped him. If you look at the celebrations of the win, Keegan is there, but he's wearing a big pair of aviators and a black eye.
No need to hit him, is there?
Tommy Smith was tough. Tommy Smith was a guy that, was it... Is it Bill Shankly said about him? He wasn't born, he was quarried.
Oh, dear.
Poor Keggy.
No need to him.
No
need to him. Story two.
He's just trying to be light, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just trying to be confident.
That's the support story to the main event.
A second shorter story in my lifetime, being a Scottish kid, I actually got the chance to go to Kevin King's soccer circus.
Oh, yeah.
And got to do a bit of head tennis with the great man himself. And while not knowing particularly who he was at the time, apart from knowing he was a former England manager, in doing the challenge after a poor header from myself and a determined Keegan to keep it up, we were in the high 20s, sorry. So the headers happened, got to over 20, and Keegan
more than
was determined to keep it going. and he fell over and ripped his trousers. So thank you for that, Craig Doyle, and Kevin Keegan's soccer
circus.
Can that
be true?
No, it doesn't. In many ways, Jim, we've got to the point now where it doesn't actually matter.
No.
Yeah.
You can make up a story about him and then it will like happen to him the next week.
The thing is, because Jim, genuinely, the lawsuit can't get any bigger.
No.
So there's no... And Pete's going to be a witness for the prosecution anyway, so...
He'd fuck it up, Keegan, wouldn't he?
He would absolutely represent himself.
Is it, you use the
How
word...
How have I got life for this?
I was a defendant.
Your solicitor's on fire, Kegan.
Pete, you use the word Doyle as an insult, don't you, as well?
Doyle and Ding.
Yeah.
Two of my favourites.
Craig Doyle's got in there, but you used his surname as an insult.
No, I didn't.
All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about Chelsea and Liverpool after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Guys, we have a problem. The boss said that new devil is arriving.
I remember that. Mm. Yeah, what a wonderful performance.
Is that the best take they could have got?
You can imagine. It's I think that's probably what it was. After all day,
we've all done voiceovers for this show.
Let's all try delivering the line like he does it.
What's the line?
The boss says a devil is arriving.
Right, devil arriving. Yeah. Arriving. Oh, the devil's arrived.
Yeah. Right on time.
I heard he was on his way.
Ah, the devil's arriving.
Yeah. A new devil.
New devil. Yeah.
The boss says a new devil is arriving.
Arriving.
Yeah, arriving, yeah.
The boss says a new devil is arriving. There we go.
That sounded a bit like a computer.
Yeah, or any Beatle. Yeah.
I was about to say, it's touched with the Ringo Styles there.
Peace and love, guys. Peace and love. Got to carry on.
Oh, Thomas the
Ringo's,
Tank Engine.
Ringo's not even the best devil in the Beatles.
No.
But he's the best Thomas the Tank Engine voiceover in the Beatles.
Oh, Thomas. Can't remember what he says.
Rolled Annie into town.
Annie and Clarabel.
Yeah. Chelsea played very well against Barcelona. Didn't win the game, but they were very good.
They were.
And a shame it was the mistake from Christensen for the goal, obviously, that Messi scored. But really, Barcelona didn't have too much. Chelsea were excellent, considering they've been a bit up and down of late. Conte looked back to his best, or his animated best.
I think he likes that big stage. I think the humdrum.
I think the Champions League does that to teams, don't they? Even when Manchester United under Moyes, they still got the quarter final. Leicester under Ranieri still got, well.
I might be wrong, but Conte's won the Premier League now. I wonder if he just gets a bit bored by it. He wants to push on and do something in Europe. But this game, I had a bit of an existential nightmare looking into this game, looking into this part of the running order earlier, because I noticed that Gary Cahill didn't play. Yeah. I know he's played a couple of games recently, but it looked like he was dropped.
Did Willian play?
And yes, he did.
He played a couple of times.
But Cahill's been a bit inconsistent here and there. Mm. And I started thinking about the fact that England haven't got any good centre-backs for the World Cup, and I can't really think of any one of them.
Will Grigg did a number on John Stones.
Yeah,
I know. It's all...
And at a push, I would say Harry Maguire's been good this season. But he's still quite limited, isn't he?
Is it time
Jamal Lascelles?
Yes! Yeah. What about him? Why not?
No one's talking about it, because he's got plays for an unfashionable club.
Yeah.
Who's conceded a lot of goals.
Who might get relegated. Yeah. But the thing is, though, Pete, if people like Chris Smalling can just be chucked in there...
Oh, yeah, it's mental. There's no reason why he shouldn't be part of the conversation at the very least. He's the captain of a club. He knows how to marshal the defence. He's decent.
And we've said before on this show that England need to pick defenders who actually defend.
Yeah.
Because at the top level... When you're playing in the Premier League and you're expecting, like someone like John Stones, a lot of it's about concentration because the team have got the ball 80% of the time. Mm. Mm. It's not about defending with backs to the wall, and I don't know if I trust Stones on that front.
Well, I think that's why you need a back three. Mm. You need three of them in there. Don't go anywhere.
I've just told you we haven't got any. We don't need an extra one in there.
No, but that's what I mean.
If you haven't got
many good defenders, then pack them. Mm. Pack them in there.
Play five.
And then play five. Five centre back.
Left back. Yeah. Right back, left back.
Yeah, definitely not Carl Walker or Ryan Bertrand. Yeah.
It's interesting the language you use there, Luke, because I think our defence is very much chucked rather than picked.
Yeah,
for England,
chuck him in there.
It's a worry.
Well, Gomez has played there, and it's not historically his natural position either. So, look, I'm a bit worried about it. Cahill didn't play against Barcelona. Would he have made that mistake? Possibly not, but he has been a bit inconsistent. They've got a big game this weekend, haven't they?
It is only natural when we talk about Chelsea versus Barcelona to talk about England's defence.
Mm.
You know, not even I did that, everybody.
No.
I love it though.
You didn't do it on the continent. You're not going to do it here.
I love it though when Willian plays like that. There's no finer sight when that man is like he's a new devil. He's playing like he's a man possessed.
But it's like you said on the continent. Like just Conte got his tactics spot on.
Absolutely.
Stifle them. He just gave him the ball. you do whatever you want with it. And mm-hmm. as you said on the first half, they didn't have any shots on target. Yeah. So like, yeah.
Will they use Newcastle United's blueprint to beat Manchester United, or do you feel they've got more going forward and they can express themselves a bit more on the basis of that Barcelona game? You'd have to say so, Peter.
I don't think they'll need to park the bus quite so much in the second half.
It's a huge game because
it's a massive one.
Both those teams have been slightly wobbly form.
Yeah,
and to get a win and guarantee the other losers at this stage of the season is absolutely massive. I mean, and there's also two managers who have shown themselves to be on the edge of their wits at times this season.
Very much so.
Could be explosive. It could be really interesting to watch.
I smell headlines.
What did you think of the Pogba thing against Sevilla? I mean, that man, Jesus. Right. Can I just say as well, Man United are so boring to watch. It fucking annoys me. Yeah. I sat through that whole Sevilla game. So done.
Yeah. Sevilla were not bad, though.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah. But it was still a terrible game. Yeah,
I could watch three episodes of Narcos.
I could have. I could have watched anything. I could have watched the figure skating.
Yeah, that's right. I personally, with you mentioned Paul Pogba, I just think Mourinho is punishing him, if you like. He's making, I don't know about an example, but we've seen him do this before with someone like Eden Hazard, a hugely talented player. He needed to be a little bit more functional. You need the functionality to back up the creativity, if you know what I mean. You do, really, if you want to be a top player.
Yeah, he ruined that play for an entire season.
but he's better for it, doesn't he?
He does, Jim, you're right.
But he does. Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, the Pogba thing is really, really interesting, the stance Mourinho is taking on it, because every time he's asked about it in the press, he's like, look, I don't know why we're talking about this. Pogba, you know, it was his decision not to play, blah, blah, blah. He says he doesn't feel 100% fit. But he had an open training session in which Pogba featured recently. So he's at the same time going, look, he's fit, he's training, he's fine, and then saying that Pogba's telling him he can't play. It all seems very petty and like, why does he want to pick this fight? Do you think, is this going to improve Pogba?
I just think that's what he's trying to do. I mean, we were talking earlier, Luke, and we were mentioning that was it Lampard, Scholes, and Ferdinand?
We're
highlighting.
The reason I brought it up to you is because we talked on this show about Pogba needs to play in a three in the middle. We sort of all agreed on that. And Lampard then took that one stage further on BT Sport last night and essentially said, look, it doesn't matter if he plays in a two or a three because he's not doing this properly.
Yes.
At the top level, especially in knockout phases of the Champions League, you can't have passengers. You can't have a guy, and Marcus, you've accused him in the past of just like sitting there admiring his passes a little too much and not doing enough work to get back in there when they haven't got the ball.
You never see him play 1-2. You never see him do a pass and then run on and then move away. He just stands there.
Yeah.
I've done my bit.
And Mourinho hates nothing more than that. He hates the Maverick. He hates the...
Well, I'm wondering whether this feeds into what Jim's saying, which is essentially... Because that thing, I mean, if Mourinho did say that, I didn't hear him say it, but I trust that he did because you heard it. It's no good being put on the bench because what can happen is, as we saw in the game, he has to come on after 15 minutes because Herrera is actually injured. Mm. And then there's no point saying I'm not fully fit, but I'll sit on the bench because before you know it, you've got to play 75 minutes anyway.
To me, this is Mourinho almost punishing a player.
For not working hard enough.
Yeah, if you're not going to work hard for me, I don't care how much. In fact, I even prefer it that you are an £89 million player because I will show the world that I am Jose Mourinho.
And I will play an academy player instead.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who played very well,
and
by
also,
the way.
But he's praised him so much, hasn't he, Scott McTominay, to the point where he's saying that Scotland should call him up, and I wonder what's his game there.
Yeah, that's strange. Where he's trying to persuade because he can play for Scotland or England, as I understand it.
Yeah, as the FA, what do you do there? It's like, oh God, what does he mean?
Yeah,
this is a mind game. We're not equipped to deal with this.
Dance for me.
There's not much the FA are equipped to deal with.
Quite exactly.
Yeah, one thing Mourinho did point out, and he's quite right to point this out. This was ahead of the Sevilla game. He said, and I don't know if this is a thinly veiled dig or a heavily veiled dig, if such a thing can exist. He said that in the Carabao Cup, they lost the quarterfinal to Bristol City. He said, but we lost like Manchester United likes to lose, with dignity, with fair play, with participation in the happiness of a giant killing. Even in defeat, we're a big team.
I like that
so much.
And doesn't he sound big?
Yeah. Any victory you can get over there.
I love that. We've participated in the giant game there.
Yeah.
You're welcome. But you were the giant.
We played our part.
The giant. Yeah, the giant is not the hero in Jack and the Beanstalk.
He's gone so low, he's now saying, that's how you lose, Pep.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Well, look, Chelsea are also 12-5 with Bet365 to win at Old Trafford on Sunday. So £10 there. Return £52.50 should they win as well. So
we have to mention David De Gea.
Yeah,
I'd be remiss if we didn't.
Absolutely.
I mean, we know he's capable of this, but it's a bit like saying, well, we know Messi's capable of stuffing one in the top corner from 25 yards. It's still a wonderful thing when it happens.
We're living in the golden era of goalkeeping. I really think that. I think you think of Edison, De Gea, Alisson at Roma, Manuel Neuer, who I know has been injured, but it's fantastic. There's so many good goalkeepers around.
Courtois, maybe he could be, in
like
that
youngish,
bracket.
Trim, rangy goalkeepers whose reactions are just insane.
Yeah, I've probably left one or two off there, so I apologise.
Pickford. We can hope.
Joe Hart.
Not anymore.
No.
Or was he ever?
Luke McGee.
Luke McMore. it'd be interesting to see how Manchester United shape up here, because they were criticised, Luke certainly criticised them at the start of this little chat about being quite defensive against
Sevilla.
Well,
there's no reason for them to be so boring.
Well my thought is, if, and I we'll have to wait for the second leg with what I'm about to say, but if Mourinho thinks we'll go to Sevilla and we'll just stifle it, we will just sort of not lose whatever, and then we'll take them back to Old Trafford and then we'll whip them. If that's how it plays out, then fair enough, because sometimes you do have to have a little bit of a plan. And if he's not sure about Pogba, who is one of their, if not best player, he's thinking that's what we're going to do. But of course, if it doesn't pan out like that, then we shall see. But you're right, Luke, they're not the sort of a free-flowing attacking side.
And there's no excuse for it of a side of that size. I mean, if you look at the play, I understand you need to keep it tight in the knockout stage, in the first leg of a knockout stage of a Champions League, I get that. But plenty of other teams who have nowhere near the resources United have are able to keep it tight and actually cause a bit of an attacking threat as well. And if you look at the personnel that United had on the pitch at some time or another during that game, I mean, the list of players is absolutely ridiculous. Mata, Lukaku, Sanchez, Pogba, Rashford, Martial, all played at one point. Valencia and Young used to be attacking players, and they're playing at fullback.
Yeah.
So, but for some reason, they can't muster really anything. I think they had 6 shots. I think Sevilla had 25 shots.
Sevilla should have won the game.
And Sevilla are quite a goal shy side, by the way. In La Liga. Yeah. So, I don't see why there's a reason they can't balance it between defence and attack, because they just stink the place out. It's frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, but it's a big game, Manchester United Chelsea, because I think second place is important this season. I mean, it's always important, obviously, to finish in the top four, but because Manchester City have been so dominant, that second place, I think, just because of the way it's gone about, I think it is something to hang your hat on a little bit.
I don't think United will get second place.
Well, could Liverpool nip in there?
I think Spurs are improving. I think Spurs might get second. They're traditionally, under Pochettino, they improved this time of the season. Liverpool are very, very capable. Chelsea United, to me, feel a bit like you don't really know what you're going to get.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see Liverpool finish second, personally, because they're just the most fun team to watch in the league, aren't they? It's just enjoyable.
Mo Salah.
Yeah, they just play with such relish, and it's just a really joyous thing to watch.
Mo Salah, no problems.
Well, because United can be like really, really dull and overly pragmatic at times. Chelsea are a little bit unpredictable and can sometimes be like that as well. And obviously, are riddled with the problems they have with the uncertainty about Conte. And I just like Liverpool at the moment.
They're a very incredibly watchable team. There's Matt Dyson, friend of the show. He refuses to put Mo Salah in his fantasy league team because he says everyone's got him. Because he's great for points, he's great for assists, he's great for goals.
Yeah, there's no point getting points if everyone else gets them. By the way,
he calls himself a Salah dodger, though.
Oh, really? Can I just say, I am, I think, sixth overall in the Football Ramble Fantasy League.
Not shut up.
And there's like 4,000 teams in it.
I'm dreadful.
Sixth.
In a million different
I'm coming. Whoever's top, I don't know who you are, but I'm coming for you.
Coming for you. Who have you got up top?
If I win, we're going to do the first ever prize for it. Imagine if I gave myself the ORE.
It's not hard to imagine.
No.
But you deserve it, though. If you won, you would deserve it.
A win's a win.
Yes. Should we talk about Liverpool then? Or a little bit more about Liverpool there at home, of course, to West Ham.
Oh, I smell an absolute fire sale here.
Moyes has never won it at Anfield, which is interesting.
Who hasn't?
Moyes.
Yeah, but it's not surprising to me.
No,
it's so much fun.
But look, I know what you mean, but this is the type of game that Liverpool would probably draw.
West Ham aren't in bad form, given the context of the season.
Well, they've only lost one in their last eight in the league. And then Arnautovic and Hernandez seem to be clicking a little bit playing.
I mean, two players you can really rely on for consistency.
Well, at the moment, Jim.
Well,
in the context of that club, that is a ray of sunshine, certainly. Mm. Although, is the real ray of sunshine now at West Ham United Patrice Evra?
Yeah. Oh, the real ray of sunshine in football, nay, life, is Patrice Evra.
I find it interesting about Patrice Evra because if you look at the videos he posts, he does look like the happiest man ever to walk the face of the planet. And yet, the last time, or one of the last times we saw him in a football stadium, you know, he was booting a fan.
Well, maybe you just had a lot of energy that you needed to get rid of.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's like the plot of Big is happening to that.
I imagine Liverpool will be at least two goals up by half time in this game.
And Evra just loving it.
Yeah. Did you see how good they were?
You know, you know what's interesting about the situation with West Ham is you're right, they've only lost one in their last eight in the league. Mm. But because of the way the league table is at the moment, I think they're only 4 points off relegation still.
Mm. Yeah.
But yet they sit in 12th position in the league. Mm. Bet365 have them at 10-1 to be relegated from the Premier League this season. So £10, that returns £110, including the stake, if they suffer the drop. Any one of those teams.
Yeah, I see it is.
I mean, it's probably Bournemouth down, you would say. Bournemouth are 10th, but they're 5 points off relegation.
Yeah. Bournemouth are in a really weird position as well, particularly, again, in the context of those statistics, in that when you're 10th at this point in the season, everyone's looking at beating you. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's going, like, this is a scalp.
Well, that's why we can win this, taking.
But that's why I think the Bournemouth-Newcastle game is intriguing. And if Bournemouth can win that, it's such a huge step to survival. Seems an obvious thing to say. But just that psychological thing of, we're on 34 points. Come on, lads, we're nearly there.
Or you're step pushing yourself step. Up with someone else's head.
Ooh, ooh baby, gotta get to you, girl.
Did they win a Brit last night?
Last night? They might have won at one point.
Yeah, but Liverpool could nip into second place if results or the result goes their way, really, with Manchester United and Chelsea. Yeah, interesting. Oh, nice to hear that West Ham are to play Dagenham and Redbridge in a friendly match on the 21st of March, Wednesday, during the international break, to help their neighbours who are in financial troubles. So get yourself along there if you fancy helping out.
Well, you'll be going down there, will you, Marcus?
Some scintillating football.
Well, it is international. Marcus going to drop some lyrics.
Yeah. Get yourself down to Dagenham.
Get yourself.
What, are you scared?
Go down there.
I'm not scared.
Are you scared of Dan the Dagger Man from Dagenham?
I think it's understandable if I was scared of him if he existed.
Imagine a man made entirely of daggers. Yeah.
Speaking of dangerous men, what about ex-Liverpool and Newcastle man Craig Bellamy?
And West Ham.
And West Ham.
He's played everywhere.
All the clubs.
Yeah. And the golf club shop.
Yeah. And the golf clubs.
All the golf clubs.
He's poised to take his first job as manager in football at Oxford United. Signed currently 15th in League One. Future Liverpool manager.
The great thing about this is, one, that Oxford aren't doing very well. And I look back at the results, saw that they battered Pompey, pretty standard, beat them 3-0. But the other member of the shortlist for this job was none other than your friend and mine, Sol Campbell.
He was.
And he was passed over for the job for Craig Bellamy. And Sol Campbell... and
didn't mind.
This is a quote. This is a quote. I thought, you know, Pete...
his PowerPoint. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
But Pete, can you imagine?
But I'm Sol Campbell on every slide.
But my checkered past when it comes to believing things on the internet that aren't true meant I spent a good amount of time researching this to make sure it was actually a correct quote.
Yeah.
Sol Campbell said, when he was asked about being passed over for the job, he said, I can't believe some people. I'm one of the greatest minds in football and I'm being wasted. Which I've heard Spelsy say in the pub before.
Underrated, weird.
He's underrated. He's certainly one of the most interesting minds in football.
He's so weird.
He's so weird.
He's probably the weirdest man in football.
Have you seen that video of his?
Pete saying that.
I saw this on Twitter and I couldn't find it again. But there's a video of him just talking down the camera about how normal he is.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's actually quite disturbing. He's just looking right down the lens going, you know what? I'm so normal. I'm not the most normal guy. I'm so normal. It's disturbing.
I'd love him to interview Pep Guardiola. That would be something, wouldn't it?
He talks like a man, like a man who's been ostracized from his own family, like to his ex-wife down a phone. I'm normal.
Yeah.
I am normal.
I'm not shouting. Right, let's move on swiftly but to our best bet with Bet365.
Yeah, Sol Campbell's been in touch. So after our hearts have attempted to heal their savage wounds after Richard Simmons knocked that one, fell by the wayside, as we reported on Monday, step forward. The king is dead. Long live the king.
Yep.
Tom Rodden.
Not that
has
one.
Got back in touch. Is there a famous man called Tom Rodden? No, get in touch if you are.
There's probably another one.
Dennis Rodden.
Tommy Rodden.
Yeah. No. All different people.
Okay.
Tom Rodden says, hi, Ramble. My bet of the week comes in the Saturday evening game under the lights at Vicarage Road. Watford v Everton in what will inevitably be known as the Marco Silva Derby. He said it'll be a feisty affair with goals, and I'm predicting a Watford win with both teams to score. Cheers, Tom Rodden. So
nice
Watford
bet.
Watford to beat Everton on Saturday evening with both teams to score is 15-4 with Bet365. So £50 will return £237.50, including stake. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, begambleaware.org. Now, it is very important that that he wins this bet, because that £237.50 will go to Prostate Cancer UK, as we know. But almost as importantly, he will get one rung up on the three-rung ladder on the way to becoming a member or order of the Ramble Empire.
Yeah.
Which is clearly is the real quiz here.
Of course.
So good luck to you, Tom. We'll be looking out for that, and everyone keep an eye on it and see if Tom can nail that money.
Super, super. And before we go, Luke, let's look ahead to the weekend.
Yeah, a few people looking ahead to the weekend. What have we got here? Ian May, he says, hopefully we'll have Mick McCarthy versus the fans round two.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably something we can all look forward to. Lorcan McNicholas, great name.
That's yeah. Great.
I mean, terrible.
Oh, email in, you'll get in.
Terrible message, but great name.
So you're foul of this as well.
You'll hear why. Tottenham losing to Palace after being reduced to nine men for repeated diving, but Luke still finding a way to praise them, probably just to wind up Arsenal fans. I don't think that's fair, is it? I don't normally do that, do I?
Yeah, you get some funny comments, though.
Lorcan, you've embarrassed yourself there, mate.
I think winding up the Arsenal fans is just an enjoyable bonus for you.
Yeah, I think it's right, yeah. I'll wind up any fans that deserve being wound up. That's why I see it.
Yeah. You're not winding me up, mate.
Speaking of which, I'm doing a shoot down in Southampton on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Behind enemy lines.
Lovely.
I've written the script. Lots of mentions of the Titanic.
Get your pitchforks out.
And Ben Doohan, we'll round it off with Ben Doohan, who's gone for a slightly different flavour to Ian May on the same subject. I'm looking forward to the Preston fans telling Mick McCarthy to fuck off.
Doing the do there.
Doing the doing.
What you been doing?
What you doing?
What you been doing?
Right, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to leave, I think. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Looking forward to it. The first cup final of the season in England.
And we'll be back on Monday to talk all about it.
God, blimey, it's going to be wonderful. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye. That is very loud,
isn't it? Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Normal.
Say goodbye, Petey.
I pressed up when I meant down.
And it's goodbye from me.
Got an email about Tajines.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.